Chapter 2. The Old Gentleman. The next morning, Phyllis was awoken by Roberta gently pulling her hair.
"Wake up, wake up," said Roberta. "We're in the new house. Let's go downstairs quietly and have everything beautiful before Mother gets up. Peter is already awake."
So they dressed quietly and quickly before going downstairs to the kitchen. They lit the fire and arranged the plates for breakfast. When there seemed to be nothing more that they could do, they went outside to explore the area near their new home. Their new house was on a hill, and from the garden, they could see the railway tracks and the black mouth of a tunnel, although the station was out of sight. They spent most of the rest of the day helping Mother unpack. Finally, late in the afternoon, Mother went upstairs to take a nap, and the three children went to take a look at the railway. The way to the railway was down a hill, ending at a wooden fence. They all climbed up to sit on the top of the fence. Suddenly, there was a loud sound that made them look to the right. They saw a train charge out of the tunnel. They felt a rush of excitement as it went by.
"I wonder if that train was going to London," Bobby said. "London's where Father is."
"Let's go down to the station and find out," said Peter.
This was the first time they had been near a railway without an adult. They looked into the porter's room, where they saw a porter half asleep behind a paper. As time passed, they became regular visitors to the railway. Their new life in the country, although it was quite different, was not so bad after all. The children began to know the train times, and they entertained themselves by giving names to the trains. The 9:15 train was called the Green Dragon. One morning, they sat on the fence waiting for the Green Dragon to pass.
"The Green Dragon's going where Father is," said Phyllis. "If it were a real dragon, we could stop it and ask it to take our love to Father."
"Dragons don't carry people's love," said Peter. "Don't be so silly."
"Yes, they do," said Phyllis. "I wonder why Father never writes to us."
"Mother says he's terribly busy," said Bobby. "But he'll write as soon as he can, she says."
"Hey," Phyllis exclaimed. "Let's all wave to the Green Dragon as it goes by. If it's a magic dragon, it'll understand and take our love to Father."
So when the Green Dragon came out of the tunnel, all three children waved their handkerchiefs. And a distinguished-looking hand waved back. It was an old gentleman's hand. After this, it became the custom for the children to wave at the 9:15. The old gentleman always waved back. One day after they had waved to the Green Dragon, they decided to visit the station. They spent 2 hours with the friendly porter, who told them all kinds of things about trains and engines. It was so much fun that the time went by all too quickly. That night at tea, they told Mother what they had learned about the railway.
"I'm so glad you like the railway, but please don't walk on the line," she said.
"But we are careful," said Peter after a pause.
"No, I don't want you to walk on the line," insisted Mother.
"But Mother, didn't you ever walk on the railway lines when you were little?" asked Phyllis.
Mother was an honest woman.
"Well, yes," she said.
"Well then," said Phyllis.
"All right then, but you must be exceptionally careful," replied their mother in defeat.
The very next day, Mother had to stay in bed because her head ached and she had a violent fever. She could not eat anything, and her throat was very sore. In the evening, she felt so much worse that Peter was sent to the village to get Dr. Forrest. W.W. Forrest, M.D., came at once. When he had seen Mother, he said it was influenza. He gave Bobby a list of things their mother would need to get better. However, when Bobby showed Mother the doctor's list, she said they couldn't afford to buy anything on it. When she had done everything she could to make Mother comfortable, Bobby went down to the others to tell them about the list and what Mother had said.
The three children were worried about their mother, so they came up with a terrific plan to get all the things on the list. And later, while mother slept, they were very busy with scissors, a white sheet, a paintbrush, and a pot of black paint. The doctor came to see mother again the next morning. "Everything going all right?" he asked at the front door. "Did you get the things I told you to buy?"
"Not yet," said Bobby firmly, "but we'll have them tomorrow."
"Right," said the doctor. "Well, I'll call again tomorrow."
When the 9:15 came out of the tunnel that morning, the old gentleman got ready to wave his hand to the three children on the fence, as was his new habit. But this morning there was only one child. Peter was standing in front of the fence, pointing at a large white sheet nailed against the fence. On the sheet there were thick black letters which said, "Look out at the station." The old gentleman looked out, and at first he saw nothing. It was only just as the train was beginning to pull itself together to start again that he saw Phyllis. She was quite out of breath with running.
"Oh, good," she said. "I thought I'd missed you. Here, take this."
She thrust a letter into his hand as the train moved. He leaned back in his corner and opened the letter. This is what he read. "Dear Mister, we do not know your name. Mother is ill, and the doctor says to give her the things at the end of the letter. But she says we can't afford it. Father is away, and we do not know his address, so we can't ask him. Father will pay you, or if he has no money, Peter will pay you when he is a man. We promise it on our honor. Please give the parcel to the station master, because we don't know what train you come down by. Say it is for the children at Three Chimneys, and he will know all right. Roberta, Phyllis, and Peter." Then came the list of things the doctor had ordered. At about 6 that evening, the friendly porter appeared at the back door with a big basket.
"Old gent on the train," he said. "He asked me to bring it up straight away."
"Thank you very much," said Peter, and shook the porter's hand. Then the children opened the basket. It contained all the things they had asked for, and then a good many other lovely things they had not asked for, including ripe peaches, jams, and 2 chickens. There was a letter, too. "Dear Roberta and Phyllis and Peter, here are the things you wanted. When your mother asks where they come from, tell her they were sent by a friend who heard she was ill. When she is well again, you must tell her all about it, of course. If she scolds you for asking for the things, tell her that I say I approve of your behavior, and that she is fortunate to have such caring children." The letter was signed GP something that the children couldn't read.
"I'm glad we asked," said Phyllis.
"Oh, yes," said Bobby.
"But," said Peter, with his hands in his pockets, "I don't look forward to telling Mother about it."
"Well, let's worry about that later," said Bobby.
About 2 weeks later, the children made a new sign and held it up for the Green Dragon to see.
"She is nearly well. Thank you."
The old gentleman saw it and waved a cheerful response from the train. The children decided it was also time to tell Mother what they had done. Mother was furious, but, being a polite woman, she wrote a thank you letter to the old gentleman to thank him for his kindness. The children took the letter down to the station master, who agreed to give it to the old gentleman.